Vrityam
Vartmanayam
Kalakrita Samobhavit
Rame Rajani
Dharmaknye Sarvabhuta Sukhavahe. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Lord Ramachandra became king during Treta Yuga, but because of his good government, the age was like Satya Yuga. Everyone was religious and completely happy. Purport. Amongst the four yugas, Satya, Treta, Dupara, and Kali, the Kali Yuga is the worst. But if the process of Vanashram Dharma is introduced, even in the stage of Kali, the situation of Satya Yuga can be invoked. The Hare Krishna movement, or Krishna conscious movement, is meant for this purpose. Kalera dosha nidhe rajan asyeka mahaguna kirtanadeva krishnasya muktasanga parambhajat. Quote, my dear king, although Kali Yuga is full of faults, there is still one quality, one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become freed from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. Bhagavatam 12.351. If people take to the Sankirtan movement of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, they will certainly be freed from the contamination of Kali Yuga, and the people of this age will be happy as people were in Satya Yuga, the golden age. Anyone, anywhere, can easily take to this Hare Krishna movement. One need only chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, observe the rules and regulations, and stay free from the contamination of sinful life. Even if one is sinful and cannot give up sinful life immediately, if he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with devotion and faith, he will certainly be freed from all sinful activities and his life will become successful. Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. This is the blessing of Lord Ramachandra, who has appeared in this age of Kali as Sri Gaurasundara. Srila Prabhupada Ki. So this is Ram Navami, one of the favorite festivals of the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the great pioneer of Krishna Consciousness, has instructed us how to observe this day. In his famous poem, which we sing, so it's also a song, called Sudha Bhakata. He says, Sudha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajana Anukula Bhakata Seva Paramasiddhi Prema Latikara Mula. He says, holy days like Akadasi and Janmashtami and Ram Navami are the mothers of devotion for those devotees who properly respect them. And what does it mean to properly respect or acknowledge or honor a day such as this? Well, Prabhupada has taught us very practically. It means to hear and chant and remember the name, fame, form, pastimes, and paraphernalia of that particular divine personality. It may be the Lord, or it may be also the Lord's devotee. When you think of husband and wife, when I think of Kosha Rupa, I think of Badahari. When I think of Badahari, I think of Kosha Rupa. They're a good couple, 35 years together. And when you think of Krishna, what was it? Oh, 38. Please forgive my offense. Remarkable. When you think of the Lord, you naturally think of his devotee. And when you think of the devotee, you naturally think of the Lord. So any day of the appearance of a divine person, Shravanam Kirtanam brings Vishnu Smaranam, or Krishna Smaranam. So Lord Ram, technically speaking, Lord Ram is one of the 10 prominent incarnations of the Lord, Dasavatars. There's numerous incarnations, as we know, but the fountainhead of all those incarnations, Prabhupada said, is our Krishna. Sometimes he would talk about Krishna like that. He said, our Krishna. And that is made very clear in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam and the Paribhasha Sutra. Paribhasha Sutra means that particular shloka of that scripture from which all the other shlokas expound or evolve. Etecham sa kolopum sha krishnashtu bhagavan swayam indriya vyakalam lukam midayute juge juge. That's the Paribhasha Sutra of the Srimad Bhagavatam. 18,000 shlokas are evolving from that one shloka. And I repeat, all the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord, but Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All of these incarnations appear on the earth planet whenever there's a disturbance created by the atheists. The Lord incarnates to protect the theists. So Prabhupada has explained that each incarnation of the Lord demonstrates a particular opulence of the Lord, a particular characteristic of his personality. Just like you're a person, you have a personality. Sometimes you're hot, sometimes you're cold. Sometimes you're happy, sometimes you're sad, sometimes you're a little angry, sometimes you're chilled out, sometimes you're fired up. You have a personality. So Krishna has a personality. He's the supreme personality of Godhead. So he can exhibit different moods who appear as incarnations for particular reasons within this material world. For example, in his incarnation as Narayan, the Lord's exhibiting his renunciation. In his expansion as Lord Balaram, he's demonstrating his strength. And Mohini Murti, what could it be? Beauty. And Kapila, we see the intelligence of the Lord. So like that. The different opulences of the Lord. Actually, there's six main opulences, like strength, fame, wealth, knowledge, beauty, and renunciation. That's the definition of Bhagavan. Bhagavan means that person who has these six opulences in full. Now, when an incarnation comes, when Krishna expands as an incarnation, you don't see the six opulences. You see one or maybe two. But when Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna, comes to this planet, all six opulences are manifested. That's why Krishna is, by definition, all attractive. But interestingly enough, this is a very interesting fact, when Lord Ram appears in this world from the spiritual world, he also manifests six opulences. He's in a special category. He's not just one of the incarnations. Of course, no incarnation is just one. They're all absolute. But the incarnation of Ram is very special because he doesn't manifest a certain aspect of Godhead. All six opulences are there. Now, what is the proof, or what is the backup, the statement? When speaking in learned circles, you're always supposed to back something up by Shastra. So where does it say that Lord Ram has all the six opulences of Godhead? It's in the Lagu Bhagavatamritam by Sri Rupa Goswami. He actually, in there, he's actually quoting Padma Purana. He says, Nishringa Rama Krishnashu Sadgunyam Paripupritam Paras Patas Tu Te Tasya Dipad Utpana Dipa Va Iti. And I quote, Lord Nishringadev, Ramachandra and Krishna, in Lord Nishringa, Ramachandra and Krishna, the six transcendental opulences are perfect and complete. They are the Paravastas, the most important forms of the Lord. From him, Krishna, they are manifested as lamps are lighted from an original lamp. So there you go. And Jiva Goswami also quotes the same verse, a similar verse in his Krishna Sandarbha. Nishringa Rama Krishna Shu Sadgunyam Pari Puranam. The six opulences of wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation are fully present in the form of Nishringa, Ram, and Krishna. It's the good news for Nishringa Bhaktas and Ram Bhaktas. and Krishna Bhaktas. So no doubt this is a reason why Lord Rama is a very popular incarnation all across India today and throughout the world. This festival of Ram Navami is being observed. With all due respect, we don't always see that on the appearance of Matsya or Kurma, the whole world lights up with festivals. And, well, but Ram Navami, yes. I was just in Vrindavan and we were wandering around Braj and we were near, where were we? We were near the temple of Katyayani where the gopis came and prayed that they could have Krishna as their husband. And we were, you know, having kirtan there, Hare Krishna, Hare, and I heard Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita. As our kirtan got louder, their kirtan got louder. It's this competition. Hare Krishna, Raghupati Raghava Raja. So we stopped and I said, okay, you guys win. And we went out into the fields and there was this temple, a little temple, with the deity of Hanuman, and there were these sadhus, and they were reading Ramayana for 9 days up until today, Ram Navami. They were reading the Ramayana 24 hours a day for 9 days up until today. And they dug this huge hole in the ground, they had this huge fire, and as one sadhu would read one verse, how many verses there are in Ramayana, I don't know, but he would read one verse. End of the verse, Svaha, all the sadhus would throw grains into the fire. Isn't that interesting? They were reading it, but after every verse, they'd stop, Svaha, and they'd throw like that. And they were so fired up. You know? So Ram appeared 2 million years ago, and to this day, the sadhus with so much devotion, Ram Bhakti, they're honoring this his appearance. So he's so popular, Lord Ram. Actually, I'll tell you something very interesting. You have to be all ears now. Actually, Shastra states that Lord Ram is Krishna's favorite incarnation. Sometimes people, they'll ask, you know, Iskandar, who's your favorite incarnation? Oh, I'm a Ram Bhakta, or I'm a Krishna Bhakta, or I like Shiva, you know. If you ask Krishna, who is his favorite incarnation, he'll say Ram. That's also in Lagu Bhagavatamritam, first canto, fifth chapter, verse 306. Krishna says, and it's actually a quotation from Brahmanda Purana, but Krishna reveals his heart. He says, my closest expansions, are those like Matsya and Kurma. But among them, in every way, Ramachandra, the son of Dasharath, is most dear to me. He likes all, of course, he is all the incarnations. But he says there, my closest expansions are those like Matsya and Kurma. But among them, in every way, Ramachandra, the son of Dasharath, he's my favorite. And just how that is so, how Krishna himself is absorbed also sometimes in Ramlila, it's described in the Vishnu Dharma Atara. There it describes how when Krishna was present on this earth 5,000 years ago, often, or actually every day, he and his friends would go to the forest and herd the cows and the calves, but you know, herding cows and calves is not such a big deal for them because the cows are just eating grass all day. So the boys entertain each other. They wrestle in the soft sands of Raman Reti. They play leapfrog. You know, one boy jumps over the other. They have those big fruits and they throw the fruits and they have different competitions and they eat together and steal Krishna's lunch bag. They'll do all kinds of things. But it's described that the gopis are also playing when they're doing their chores and so forth and so on. And they also are absorbed in games and theaters, like putting on the Ramayana. And one time, Radha and Krishna were walking with the gopis. It's described there in that Vishnu Dharmatara. And they're going through the beautiful part of the Vrindavan forest and looking around. And one gopi, she, picking up on the atmosphere, she says to the other gopi, she said, "This forest is just like Panchavati." Panchavati is the forest that Ram and Sita, Lakshman, Hanuman, they were living in that forest, Panchavati. And she said, this looks just like the forest where Sita and Ram happily lived together in exile, along with Ram's brother Lakshman. And she pointed to a small grove of trees, and she said, "And this resembles a hermit's cottage. Let's go to that cottage and play like Sita and Ram, Lakshman and Hanuman." So Radha Krishna say, "Sure, we'll go there." So they go inside, and the gopis sit down Krishna, and they sit down Radha, and they start dressing them like ascetics in the forest. And then they hand different ornaments to them and say, "When Sita and Ram were actually in the forest, their attendants didn't dress them because they didn't have any attendants, so they dressed themselves in beautiful ornaments. So Radha, you dress Krishna like Ram, and Ram, you put the ornaments on so Radha will look like Sita." And then when that was done, the gopis made Krishna's hair into a top knot, looked just like Ramachandra. And they began to sing a song. Raghupati Raja Ram, Patita Pavana Sita Ram, Sita Ram Jai Sita Ram, Sita Ram Jai Sita Ram. Now when they started singing that song, Radha and Krishna forgot that they were play acting. It's described in that shastra. They forgot it was all play. And they actually thought of themselves like Lord Ramachandra and Sita Devi. And at that time, Krishna's bluish black complexion became green like the color of a parrot. And Radharani's golden color became soft white like Sita Rani. And this pastime is often used to confirm that statement of Krishna in the Brahmanda Purana. "My closest expansions are those like Matsya and Kurma, but among them, in every way, Lord Ram, the son of Dasharath, is most dear to me." Of course, those are divine pastimes happening in Vrindavan, of course, happening all the time in Ayodhya Dham. But Lord Ramachandra is also a favorite in the world of men, in human society. His exploits in the Ramayana have been read for, well, millions of years. And you could say that that story is the original love story. Or better yet, it contains the love that we're all looking for, love of God. When you hear that story, just by hearing the pastimes of especially Lord Ramachandra and Sita Devi, then your love for the Lord awakens. That is the mystery of Krishna consciousness. It's called Subda Brahma. That we may not be present as the pastimes are happening, but hearing them from authorized sources is just as good. And by hearing those pastimes, your love for Krishna awakens. The example is often used of Rukmini. Rukmini was, of course, a princess, but she'd never met Krishna. But in those days, during Krishna's leelas, the sadhus were traveling and recounting the pastimes of the Lord. So they used to come to the palace of her father, King Bhishmaka, and as a young girl, she would sit and hear about Krishna. And hearing about Krishna, she fully gave her heart to the Lord. So when it came time for remarriage, her father, King Bhishmaka, he decided, "Well, there's this nice young boy, you know, his name is Shishupal. He's really nice." Now, she knew Shishupal because she's in the palace, you know. Shishupal, he was just opposite whom she wanted to marry. He came out of the womb cursing Krishna. Usually babies come out and they're, you know, they're ga-goo-goo, but he was like cursing Krishna, literally. And but you'll marry him. "But I've already given my heart to Lord Krishna." No, no. Prabhupada says in the purport there that when a girl falls in love with a boy for the first time, when she gives her heart to that boy, it's very hard for her to take it back. So as we know the whole story, she wrote a letter to Krishna. He was got that letter when he was fighting on the battlefield with Jarasandha for the 17th time. But he got the letter, and out of love for her, he never met her either, but you know, the letter was there, so he left the battlefield to go and rescue her. And he became infamous among some as Ranchor, he who left the battlefield. It's like a coward. But amongst his devotees, he's glorified like a Ranchor. He left the battlefield to save Rukmini. So how did her love come for the Lord? Simply by hearings. In the same way, by hearing the Ramayana, our love for the Lord awakens. I met one lady last year on a tour through India. Her whole life she'd been hearing the Ramayana. So what she did all day long, I think Bhadhari was there, she was just writing Jai Shri Ram, Jai Shri Ram, Jai Shri Ram, Jai Shri Ram, Jai Shri Ram. She had books and books, and she took me in a room, she opened the closet, and all these diaries fell out. I opened them up, Jai Shri Ram, Jai Shri Ram, Jai. And when she wrote it, you could see her hand was trembling and her heart was full of love. So just by hearing. So it's the original love story, therefore it's very popular. And from the Ramayana, which recounts the pastimes of Ram, there's many lessons to be learned. Many lessons. I mean, we could just pick one theme today and elaborate on that theme for the whole day. The Ramayana is full of so many of Lord Ram's instructions or instructions of his devotees or recounting his pastimes. I remember one time we were sitting with Sridhar Prabhupada in Hyderabad. We'd gone down to Hyderabad to open the temple there, actually. And Prabhupada was visiting the Hyderabad farm, which was some distance from the city. And he was sitting under a big tree, and all the local villagers came. And some distinguished people also came from the city. And I remember Prabhupada began speaking, and he touched on Lord Ramachandra. And one very distinguished woman, nicely dressed, she very humbly inquired from Prabhupada. She said, Swamiji, can you reveal to us for what purpose the Supreme Lord, Sri Ramachandra, descended from Vaikuntha into this mortal world? What was the essence of his appearance? I was like, wow, that's a good question. Prabhupada can take that and to speak for hours. You know, for why? What reason did Ram appear in this world? I was thinking, you know, Paritunaya, Sadhanam, Vinashaya. He'll pick one of those themes. Prabhupada looked at her, and he kind of got this sheepish grin on his face, and he said, why did Ramachandra appear into this world of men? He said, to instruct us all in the difficulties incurred by accepting a wife. It was a kind of a joke. To instruct us all in the difficulties incurred when accepting a wife. But then Prabhupada became serious, and he quoted that verse, Paritunaya Sadhanam, Vinashaya Duskritam, Dharma Samstapanathaya, Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. He quoted, to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. And then he refined that quote by saying, actually, Lord Ram appeared as the perfect king. And even today, people are hankering, he said, for Raj Ram, or Raj Raja, the kingdom of God on this planet. And that's a fact. Krishna appeared as Ram in a dynasty of royalty, and he took the position of a king. One of his instructions to show those who are in the position of leading people how to properly guide them according to Dharma. Prabhupada writes elsewhere, he says, during the reign of Ramachandra, the bountiful earth freely supplied the necessities of life for all living beings, and all physical and mental suffering, disease, old age, bereavement, lamentation, distress, fear, fatigue were completely absent. For those who did not want it, there was even no death. That's how perfect was the kingdom of Lord Ram. There's a hint of that, actually, in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, in the beginning I sent forth generations of men and demigods, and bless them that by the performance of yajna, or sacrifice, all desirable things will be bestowed upon you. There's the key to material prosperity. We're transcendentalists. We don't care so much for the material world, but we're still here. So we have to maintain these bodies, and our families, and our society. So in Vedic scripture, there's a process for doing that. And first of all, it begins by acknowledging from whom everything is coming. What is the cause of all causes? Where is this resources they're coming from? And they're coming from Krishna. What is that verse? Forget that verse. Out of one, out of many, there is one who's maintaining the desires of all. Huh? Yeah, how does it start? Nitya nityanam chaitanas chaitananam ekovahanam yobadi dati kama. Spasiva bolshoi, we say in Russian. Thank you. Out of one, out of many, there is one who's fulfilling desires of all. So if that's the case, if these are gifts, the gifts of nature, then we have to acknowledge that. If you get a gift from someone, you don't say thank you, you can't expect to get any more gifts. So how you acknowledge the mercy of the Supreme in maintaining you, your material prosperity, is you do yajna. You hire the brahmanas, or you give the brahmanas gifts, and they put the fire yajna together, and svaha, svaha, because yajna vai Vishnu. That is the Vedic means of acknowledging the gifts from God. Of course, in this day and age, it's not so practical. So the yajna is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. So that's what a king did in Vedic culture. He had two responsibilities. Number one, to make sure there was material prosperity and to protect that by kingly duties, his soldiers. But also to ensure that the people were also engaged in spiritual life. It's not that the king had to tell you what particular path you had to follow, but you had to follow your path. Whatever your chosen path, if you were a jnani or a yogi or a karmakandi or a devotee, the king ensured that you followed the universal principles of religion. And thus society was balanced. It was equipoise, like Lord Buddha said, the middle path. So Ram demonstrated this when he came back from the battle of, you know, in Lanka. That other part of the Ramayana is describing how he ruled over the people and you could say protected them. He offered protection. What is real protection? Of course, the king, Kshatriya means, cut means to hurt, and Trayate means to protect. So Kshatriya is one who protects the people from hurt. So what does that mean? He protects us from disease, from old age, from accidents, from, you know, the different... Yes and no, ultimately it means he protects us from the influence of Maya, which causes us to forget Krishna. That's real protection. Real protection doesn't necessarily mean to protect the body, it means to protect our Krishna consciousness, which is our most valuable possession. And in this world, we can lose our Krishna consciousness because of the temptations of this world. So when the Lord offers protection, we shouldn't misunderstand, but I got sick, I had an accident. He's protecting us from the most gravest danger, which is to forget Krishna, because if you forget Krishna, that guarantees that in your next life, you re-enter the cycle of birth and death, another series of birth, disease, old age, and death. So this is the protection that Ram actually offered the citizens of Ayodhya. Yes, he protected the people from the rogues and the rascals, but he ensured that people didn't forget him by engaging in various spiritual practices. So he's described as the perfect king. Now, every king, every government has their opposition, just like every sitting government has what's called the opposition party. So who was the opposition to the perfect ruling, Aldwara Ramachandra? It was the perfect demon. Who's the perfect demon? Well, there's some debate on that. Because Prahlad Maharaj, he called his father the best of the demons. There's that famous quote in the seventh canto. Oh, Pita, you're the best of demons. And Hiranyakashipu's just swell with pride. Thank you, son. If I called you the best of demons, you'd fall apart. But he was an asura. So the perfect demon again appeared as Ravana, because of the same giant Vijay took birth three times. So Ravana was the opposition. And Ravana's name, by his name we get an understanding of just how demoniac he was and what a challenge he was for Lord Ramachandra as a king, as a ruler. Ravana's name, Prabhupada describes in a purport, means he who makes the universe scream in terror. One of my godbrothers named a prospective disciple Ravana Hamsa, like Kamsa Hunter, or Hunter, Hunter, Ravana Hunter. It means the killer of Ravana. Her disciple came and said, Guru Maharaj, can you change my name? It's like, in this country, they shorten all the names, so they're going to call me Ravana. Kamsa Hunter, Ravana Hunter, they'll call me. So that he changed to something like Vrindavan Das or something. So Ravana, one who makes the universe scream. And much of the Ramayana actually centers around the struggle between Lord Ramachandra and Ravana, or the primordial struggle of good over evil. And obviously, Lord Ramachandra won, which is good news for us. Because Krishna states in the Gita, Partha naiveha namutra vinashastasya vidyate nahi kalyana krit kaschid durgatim tata gachati. O son of Pritha, a transcendentalist engaged in auspicious activities does not meet with destruction either in this world or in the spiritual world. For one who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil. But it was no small task. Of course, everything's easy for the Supreme Lord. But Ravana was very powerful. He'd received benediction from Lord Shiva. And Shiva is, he's not like Krishna Tattva, but neither is he Jiva Tattva. He's Shiva Tattva. And he's so powerful that at the end of the creation, he just dances, and the friction that he causes a fire which destroys everything. So he's a very powerful personality. And Ravana, many of the demons, they go to Shiva because he has the thankless task of engaging these guys. Hopefully, by his association, they become a little purified, but not Ravana. But Shiva gives these blessings. He's Ashutosh. He's easily pleased and easily displeased. So Hiranyakashipu, he went to Shiva, and Ravana went to Shiva. And Shiva gave him these blessings. He was extremely powerful. He was a great devotee, actually, of Lord Shiva. In fact, to jump ahead a little bit, at the final battle in Lanka, when Ram had come with his army of bears and monkeys, and Ravana was fighting with his hordes of rakshasas, it was a very intense battle, but it's like kind of one of those, like in a movie, it's just, finally, the two heads, the two main guys, they come together. Everybody else stops fighting. And they're watching this battle between Ravana and Ram. And it's going on and on. And finally, Ram, he pulls out his arrow like the Gurukul boys do sometimes. He touches the arrow to his head like this. We do it in our play in Poland on the Polish tour. And then Ram took that arrow and he pulled it back and he was going to shoot it right into the heart of Ravana. And everyone could understand nothing was going to stop that. Asam Urdhva. Because there's no one equal to or greater than Krishna or his incarnation. Asam Urdhva is one definition of God. No one's equal to him, no one's greater. So Ravana had met his match. But in the heavenly planets, Shiva was watching this with Parvati sitting on his lap. Because the demigods, this is what they do. They don't go to cinemas and discos. And they're higher beings. They're Aryans, they're civilized. They always engage in Krishna Katha, or Ram Katha, and Sringa Katha. So they're watching, he's watching this from Mount Kailash, top of Mount Kailash. He's watching this go on, and Parvati turns to her husband, Shiva, and she says, Pati, he's your devotee. He's about to be killed by that Ram. He's your devotee. You should save him. So Lord Shiva says famously to Devi, he says, Devi, Raki Krishna Mare Ke, Mare Krishna Raki Ke. If Krishna wants to kill you, no one can save you. And if Krishna wants to save you, no one can kill you. I am not supreme. Ram is supreme. Jai Sri Ram! Death to Ravana! So, yes, one who does good is never overcome by evil. This doesn't necessarily mean a pious person, but transcendental good, Sudhasattva, one who's engaged in transcendental goodness. He's protected by the Lord. So, how much more do we need that protection now? You could say, yes, Ravana was powerful and he had subjugated the planets, but it's actually getting worse, you could say, because there's so many demoniac rulers. This is Kali Yuga. So we, nowadays, we also need the shelter of Lord Ram to protect us from these type of leaders. In the 12th canto, it's described how kings and presidents and prime ministers will become even more voracious as Kali Yuga goes on. Prajahi Lubdhai Rajanyayar Nirganar dashta dharmabhi achina dhara dhavina yasyanti giri kananam. Losing their wives and properties to such avaricious and merciless rulers who will behave no better than ordinary thieves, the citizens will flee to the mountains and forests. So we also require the mercy of Ram to protect us. And he can. He's no fictitious person. Sometimes people, they'll read Ramayana, and it's an entertaining story, but it's all mythology. Prabhupada said one time, do you think that Srila Vyasadeva, the most intelligent, empowered incarnation of the Lord, completely pure at heart, civilized, glorious, is going to write mythology, waste his time writing mythology, or writing stories for children? No. One time Mother Malati, she asked Srila Prabhupada, she said, Srila Prabhupada, is it true that God, is it really true that God the Almighty is in reality a small blue cowherd boy with a flute and tender little lotus feet and a tiny peacock feather in his hair? Is that God? A little boy herding cows? So Prabhupada just paused for a moment and then he replied softly, Malati, do you think I would cheat you? When I heard that, then whatever I read in Krishna book, you know, how many arms they had, how many heads they had, you know, how many, whatever they did, it's all true because Prabhupada said so. He said, Malati, do you think I would cheat you? So these pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, as amazing as they are, they're not fictitious, they're actually true. So that same Ram can also, if he offers protection to us, that protection is available now, as it was then. And has he ever offered protection to the general class of devotees? Lord Ram, yes, we'll hear the verse this afternoon. I'm stealing it from Bhadahari. He wanted to use this verse, but it can be sung over. Svadu, svadu, pade, pade. There's a verse that we can take shelter in that Lord Ram will also protect us. We often pray to Lord Nrisingadev, isn't it? To Lord Nrisingadev. He's like the deity, you know, one of the favorite deities in ISKCON, Lord, because he's protecting. But we got to cover all our bases, Prabhus. Because padam padam yatvi padam nate sham. There's danger at every step. So we need as much help as we can get. So Ram's also offering his help that you'll never forget him or Krishna or any of the incarnations, or the lotus feet of your spiritual master or the devotees. Very famous prayer, proclamation. It's in the Yuddha Khandas 12.20 of the Ramayana. Sukrid eva prapano yas tavasmiti cha yachate abhayam sarvada tasmai dadam yetad vratam mama. Did I get it right, Badari? Okay. It is my vow that if one only once sincerely surrenders unto me, saying, my dear Lord Ram, from this day I am yours, and prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on. If you're not a shloka wala, but you want to know two or three verses, this is one. You can repeat after me. This is Ram. It is my vow.
It is my vow.
That if one only once seriously surrenders unto me, saying, my dear Lord, from this day I am yours,
and prays to me for courage,
I shall immediately award courage
to that person,
and he will always remain safe from that time on. So this is Ram Nomi. Every day in the life of a devotee is special because we're engaged in the nine processes of devotional service. We live a life of transcendence. Like Jesus said, to be in this world but not of this world. We're here but we're a little bit above, like the lotus flowers above the water in the lake, because we're engaged in devotional service. Every day is special. But this is a very special day for many reasons that we've been discussing. And I would recommend this is the day that you can memorize that shloka. I'll tear the paper up and leave it on the altar there, and you can write it down and you can memorize it and carry something with you from this day. So, yes, we don't want to forget Krishna. We don't want to forget our spiritual master, who's the representative of Krishna, who teaches us the process of taking shelter. We don't want to forget the devotees of the Lord either. Hari Guru Vaishnava, Bhagavata Gita. In the book ISKCON in the 1970s by Satsarup Maharaj, we read about a conversation that the devotees had with Sridhar Prabhupada. And he stresses this point. Prabhupada says, Krishna never forgets a person who does a little service. And then he quoted from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then he said, even if there's some mistake, Prabhupada said, kontiya patijanahi, a little service, he'll never forget Krishna. And to Mahakrishna Maharaj, he said, you'll also never forget Prabhupada. And Prabhupada replied, how can I forget? You have all helped me execute the mission of Lord Chaitanya and my Guru Maharaj. Therefore, I'm always praying to Krishna to save you. So we may not be remembering to beg Krishna to save us, but our spiritual preceptors, our gurus are. So we also want to remember them and pray to them in that process as well. So Lord Ram demonstrated perfect leadership, morality, righteousness. In this way, he defended religion and defeated the demoniac. That's a major theme in the Ramayana. But like other important incarnations, we're calling him an important incarnation because, well, that's described by Jiva Goswami, Nisringa, Ram, and Krishna. His actual deeper purpose was to demonstrate or to show, to inspire us in the loving pastimes of the spiritual world, to entice us to all go back home, back to Godhead. That's why he brought the kingdom of God with him and demonstrated the pastimes, the loving, intimate, loving pastimes of the spiritual world to inspire us. They're so far away, but when he brings them to the earth, we can see them, just like a traveling road show. They travel with a show like Romeo and Juliet or something, and the actors play on the stage, and you leave the theater with a sense that that was so nice, I'd like to fall in love too. But when you see real divine loving pastimes as demonstrated by the Lord in his various pastimes, then, oh, I also want to be part of those loving pastimes. And that's the real purpose that Ram came. Prabhupada mentioned several times, he said, to deliver his devotees, to annihilate the miscreants, to establish dharma. The main reason is to deliver his devotees by revealing his loving pastimes and inviting us into those pastimes. Just like Lord Chaitanya, he came to introduce the Yuga Dharma of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare
Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
But he also wanted to himself experience and help the world understand the loving pastimes of the spiritual world, particularly Goloka Vrindavan. So that, you could say, is the real essence of the Ramayana. When you hear Lord Ramachandra's dealings with his devotees, your heart can't help but be melted. The dealings between Ram and the citizens of Ayodhya, between Ram and his father Dasharath, actually Dasharath left this world after Ram was exiled, between Ram and Hanuman, between Lord Ram and Sita, this is the perfect love that we're all looking for, but it can only be found in the spiritual world, not here. The specific love that Lord Ramachandra demonstrated with his devotees was that of servitorship. That's the mood of that's within the mood of awe and reverence. And that's there in Vaikuntha, the official kingdom of God. Prabhupada once described Vaikuntha as the official kingdom of God. And the perfection of that love is demonstrated in the character of Hanuman. Hanuman was the perfect servitor of Lord Ram. So therefore, for us as servants now, we're in that mood. We're learning to become, again, servants of God. Hanuman's such an inspiration for all of us. Such selfless service he rendered. He risked everything. He went alone. He went alone to Lanka to find Sita, and he had to engage in a battle with all of these Rakshasas. And they burned his tail, and for a monkey, a tail is something very important. Just prestige, his tail. They burned his tail. But with that tail, he burned down Lanka. But he was so courageous and so successful in his determination of service. He went to the Himalayan mountains and brought back a mountain of herbs to cure Lakshman. He went to find Sita. He's exalted amongst all the monkeys and bears. So much so that after the battle with Ravana, Ram turned to Hanuman and he showed how much affection he had in that mood of servitorship to the service of Hanuman. He said famously, "May my supreme affection for you, Hanuman, continue forever. Let my love not be diverted to anyone else. May life continue in my body only so long as your story is spoken and heard on the surface of the earth." Everyone likes to get the attention of their spiritual master, isn't it? We get chastised, but sometimes he pats us on the head, "Well done." "Oh, thank you." So can you imagine if the Lord said to you, "May my affection for you continue forever." "Wow, really? Let my love not be diverted to anyone else." "Yes, Lord." "May life continue in my body only so long as your story is spoken and heard on the surface of the earth." That's what the servant wants to hear. And then he got the perfect reward, quote unquote, for all that service that he'd done. Ram embraced him. That's all. He just got a hug. And that's all. That's a lot for a servant. If the master embraces the servant, whoa. Usually, "Well done, here's a check." But if you embrace, so that's how much love Ram had for Hanuman and Hanuman had for Ram. So we worship that selfless love of Hanuman because that the nature of love is it should be selfless. Love means to give more than you take. Ultimately, the love of the gopis is the highest because they never wanted anything from Krishna. They just wanted to give to Krishna. And that love is actually expressed by all the residents of Vrindavan. And that love, that special love, that the residents of Vrindavan have. In one sense, we shouldn't really distinguish. It's like gold is gold. There's 9 carat, 18 carat, 22, and 24. It's all gold. But you ask any of the ladies in this room, if on their birthday, their husband says, what do you want? Some gold bracelet. So I'll get you 9 carat? Prabhu. In India, you can get 22 carat. And if you go to Hong Kong, you can get 24 carat now. Right? So all the relationships with Krishna, it's part of Krishna's plan. That variety is the spice of life, and they exist because Krishna wants that type of love. It makes love complete. But as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we have a little bit of a special angle on that because we're worshipping Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada said, when many instructions are given, the last instruction's the most relevant. So many incarnations have come and given their instructions. But Mahaprabhu came and revealed something very special, as encapsulated by Rupa Goswami when he saw Mahaprabhu for the first time. He's a poet. Namo Mahabhananaya Krishna Prem Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Go to say. Whoa! Out of all these Paribhasha Sutra incarnations, you're the most special. Because you're giving something that's never been revealed before. The topmost planet. That the love of the residents of Vrindavan. And who are you giving it to? The people of Mwulimba. And London. And Alice Springs. And San Francisco. You're giving it to the people. What is this? Rupa Goswami, this is the first thing he said, the first meeting. He sang, right? He saw Mahaprabhu. Namo Mahabhananaya Krishna Prem Padayate Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namne Go to say Namo. He's greeting him with poetry, glorifying the Lord. This is the Vaishnava etiquette. You meet a distinguished person, you speak some words of glorification. So that person will speak more and reveal to you. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He declared, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, is worshipable. Similarly, his place of pastimes, Vrindavan, is also worshipable. And the highest kind of worship is, that worship is demonstrated by the damsels of Vrindavan, the girlfriends of Krishna. So, we could go so far as to say that along with praying to Lord Ram today for his protection, we can also ask him to become Brajabasis. Whoa, wait a minute. That's not unheard of. It's not improper. Because in the prayers of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we hear him praying to another Vaikuntha deity. Of the same category, I must say, Nrisingadev. Nrisinga, Ram, and Krishna. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who had a deity of Nrisingadev, had deities of Gorga Dadhar, in his heart of hearts, he prayed to Nrisingadev in the same way. In his Navadvip Bhavataranga, he says, weeping, I will beg at the lotus feet of Lord Narasingha for the benediction of worshipping Radha and Krishna in Navadvip, perfectly safe and free from all difficulties. When will this Lord Hari, whose terrible form strikes fear into fear itself, ever become pleased and show me his mercy? He will say to me, dear child, sit down freely and live happily here in Sri Gaurangadham. May you nicely worship the divine couple and may you develop loving attachment for their holy names. By the mercy of my devotees, all obstacles are cast far away. With a purified heart, just perform the worship of Radha and Krishna, for such worship overflows with sweet nectar. Saying this, that half-man, half-lion lord will delightedly place his own divine lotus feet upon my head. I will experience love for the divine couple, Radha and Krishna, and undergo the ecstatic transformations called sattvika. Falling on the ground, I will roll about on the door of Narasingha's palace. So this is the mood of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and this is, we're clearly followers of Lord Chaitanya. And we relish all the pastimes. Actually, Prabhupada said, we're as eager to hear of Krishna fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra as we are to hear about Rasalila. Just like your dad. You know, your dad comes home from the office, you know, Dad, we're just so grateful for you, you know, that you're, you know, maintaining the family, and then he's a soccer star. Oh, Dad, I like you as a soccer star too. I like, you love someone, you love everything about them. So as devotees, we love all of the Lord's pastimes, but we have our preferences because generally it's understood, as Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur said, the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are aspiring for the topmost planet in the spiritual sky, Goloka Vrindavan. He said one time, we aspire not for the kingdom of God as it is in Vaikuntha, but for the playground of God as is manifest in Vrindavan. So this is also a nice prayer we can offer to Lord Ram today. Bhaktivinoda Thakur made it very clear on this point, particularly in his Sri Sri Sva Niyama Dvavdastakam, 12 verses of self-imposed regulative principle. That was his final work. And he has 12 wonderful prayers there, and the following is a prayer within that mood, because time is of essence. We don't know how much time we have to become Krishna conscious. So we have to become connoisseurs. He writes, I have no attraction for living in Vaikuntha, that part of the spiritual sky presided over by Sri Sri Lakshmi Narayan, nor do I desire the useless activities of gross sense gratification in the material world. I will never cherish the idea for attaining the divine bliss of impersonal liberation, even for a second. Furthermore, there are many transcendental pastimes of Sri Hari that may be very purifying for all conditioned souls, yet such pastimes will never give me any real happiness at all. This is because such pastimes are quite different from the blissful ecstasies of Braja consciousness, being completely devoid of any relationship with Srimati Radharani, who is the one and only fountainhead of pure joy. Of course, that doesn't mean that we miss out on the pastimes of Ramachandra, because as I explained, the gopis, being enchanted by these pastimes, they play Ramayana with Radha and Krishna and the bowers of Vrindavan. And Krishna said his favorite incarnation is Lord Ram, so if you become a Krishna Bhakta, certainly you're going to hear about Lord Ramachandra. And that's also described in the Vishnu Dharmatara, that just as the gopis would play Ramalila pastimes, also the cowherd boys did as well. And we'll finish with that double header, Ramalila and Krishna Lila together. Once upon a time, that doesn't mean fake, I mean, one time the gopis left their cows grazing and they went to a place called Apsaravana, particularly to reenact the battle of Lord Ramachandra with Ravana. The boys are just fascinated by this pastime. So they let the cows graze and they went to Apsaravana. This is described in the Shastra I mentioned. And they all decided that, they said, Krishna, you're going to be Ramchandra, and Balaram, you're going to be Lakshman. And all of us boys will be monkeys and bears. And then it was all decided, okay, you're going to be that monkey, you're going to be that bear. We've got Ram, we've got Lakshman. And when Mata Mangal said, wait a minute, who's going to be Ravana? Raise your hand. Somebody's got to be Ravana. Raise your hand if you want to be Ravana. Nobody raised their hand. No, not me. So they had to come up with something. So they're looking around, and there's a little forest of black trees on the horizon of the Kund there. It's like these tall, straight trees. So the boys said, okay, let's pretend that those dark trees on the far side of Apsara Kund, they stand for Ravana. That big one, that'll be Ravana, and all the some other ones, they'll be Rakshasas. Na 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 na, Rakshasas, ha 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 ha. And they're throwing stones at the Ravana like that. So they made up this, it's a game, like boys play games, right? So the boys dressed up as Varanas, oh, I want to be a monkey, I want to be a bear, and they're all getting dressed up like that. And Krishna dressed up as Ram, and Balaram dressed up as Lakshman. They had bows, and it was like, oh, really real. And when they were ready, Lakshman handed the bow to Ram, to Krishna. Oh, brother, Ravana has rejected our peace offering. You must kill him. So all the boys whooping and hollering, yes, death to Ravana, down with the Rakshasas, let's attack Lanka. And they were wrestling each other like boys do. And they start running along the banks of the lake to attack the trees who represented Ravana and the Rakshasas. So then in the mood of Ram, Krishna shouted out commands to his army. While Balaram was posing as Lakshman and they were intent on doing battle, and they started releasing arrows whoosh, whoosh, towards the trees. And all of a sudden, the soldiers in Ram's army, meaning the cowherd boys, they started noticing that the enemy trees looked like Rakshasas. Especially this big Kadamba tree, it really started looking and moving like Ravana. And all of a sudden, these projectiles, these missiles started coming from the trees and exploding all around the boys. This isn't Shastra. This isn't that Shastra that I mentioned. I found this pastime. They're attacking. So their charge came to halt. They started thinking, maybe there's some wild cannibals there. So seeing this, Ram raised his bow and he yelled, great monkeys of Kishkinda, why do you fear these insignificant Rakshasas? Suddenly a big bomb just next to Ram, it exploded. But he remained very determined. He said, Hanuman, Sugriva, Angada, just look for your weapons. Consider your powerful arms. You know you have nothing to fear. Nila, Jambavan, Panas, who is your match in this world? And as he called out the different names of the warriors, the boys actually transformed into brawny monkeys. They were no longer cute little cowherd boys. They were, blah, they turned into these big, huge monkeys and bears. And they were fully endowed with power. They had armor, weapons. This is all down at the end of Govardhan Hill, by the way. And for a moment, they didn't know what to do because they're looking at themselves like, what happened? They're looking at their friends. You're a real bear. You're a real monkey. But with a little slight push, it's described from Yogamaya, they charged ahead. And there was a real fat battle that was taking place there at the foot of Govardhan Hill. And it was going on, and they're clashing, and Jai Sri Ram, death to Ravana! And both sides were determined to fight until death. It's going on and on. You couldn't recognize Rakdak. You couldn't recognize any of the coward boys. They were just monkeys and bears. And Krishna as Ram was really in the mood because he is Ram. And Ram is Krishna. And Lakshman is Balaram. And they're fighting. And the devatas, whoa, they were having a really good time in their flower airplanes. Like, wow, this is a really good one. We didn't expect this one. Ramayan in Vrindavan, woo! So all of a sudden, this very peculiar sound descended, just like we hear sometime when Krishna plays his flute, his venu. That flute goes into the Vrindavan forest, and there's the gopis, and they're doing their seva, and that flute sound goes into their ears, into their hearts, and Krishna, they drop everything and run to Krishna. So there's that, you see that painting, that the sound of the flute is just, it's going like that. So this sound overcame the battlefield. And what was this sound? It sounded like this. Oh, Ram! Oh, Krishna! Where are you, boys? It's time for supper. It was the voice of Mother Yasoda. She had come out to search for her sons, who were late for their evening meal. Krishna, my little boy! Rama, Balaram, Rakdak, come on, boys, where are you? And all of a sudden, Ravana and all the Rakshasas disappeared, and all there was were these straight black trees. And the monkeys and the bears They were cowherd boys again. And just moments before, Lakshman, he was dueling his sword with Indrajit. Now Balaram found himself, you know, fencing with a tree. The strength of Mother Yasoda's love that Krishna should eat was greater than Yogamaya's desire to facilitate this pastime the boys wanted of the Ramayana. And Krishna could not resist Mother Yasoda. So she appeared, everything disappeared, and she appeared, just come over Govardhan, and she said, "Oh, what are you boys doing?" It's a long story, Mom. Well, let's walk back home, it's time for your lunch. So they're walking back home. So she said, the boys are really fired up. She said, so Balaram, what actually happened out there? He started describing like that. He was speaking so fast, she could hardly understand him. And then Krishna started speaking, she could see there. And so she said, okay, after lunch, let's say, she said, tomorrow, you boys can go back and finish the battle with Ravana. And hearing this, all the cowherd boys cheered. And Krishna stood up and he yelled, "Monkey soldiers, it's time to eat lunch!" Shri Ramchandra Bhagavan ki! Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki! Yojadam ki! Vrindavandam ki! Ram Nomi ki! Shri Bhavada ki! Gopimanande! Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.